Happy Friday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and the thing about traveling, I have found that when you take trips, you take days off, you travel, like the day trip, like the 4,000 mile day trip, overnight trip I took on Tuesday, even though I took the day off and it was recreational, I still was expending energy, and I, more importantly, I disrupted my sleep cycle, my sleep pattern. So there's going to be some sleep and rest that my body feels it's going to need to catch up on. A lot of times, adrenaline keeps me going after I get back from a trip, because I'm still flying high off of it. So when I get back, I'm still excited, still running on the, because of the theme of the project, to get the project completed, the mission. So even when I get back and unpack and I'm home and I can sleep one night, I feel like I'm still behind. And sometimes it takes days before it catches up. Because like on this trip, Tuesday, sure I had a day off, but I really didn't, because I'm making it up on Saturday. So even though, again, I said it was a day off and it's supposed to be, you know, fun and recreation and travel, still expend energy, you know, you still wear myself out, come right back, go right to work, and then go right back to work, and not missing that day, replacing that day, so you lose that day, basically. So next week, I'll work 5 days straight with only like one day off, Sunday. And it's almost no way I can replenish in one day, no matter what I do. If Saturday night I get off Saturday, well, I get off Saturday at 7 p.m. and don't have to be back at work till Monday at noon. I really need 2 days. My body's used to 2 days in a row. But Sunday, I probably won't leave the apartment. Saturday night, I probably won't leave my apartment until Monday. And that means I probably won't even get steps and not even care. So like next Thursday, by next Thursday or Friday, I might be like really tired. Because right now, I'm feeling a little bit fatigued. And I slept kind of hard. Uncharacteristically hard last night. I was like, whoa, what was I doing? Maybe uncharacteristically might not have been the right word. Maybe unusually hard. I could tell I was tired. I could tell when I woke up. So I'm thinking, what's it going to be like next Thursday? After one day off and working for 4 straight days. Next Friday, it'll be adrenaline. I don't care, probably pretty much no matter what state I'm in, Friday is Friday. 2 days off, I'll get through it. I'll get through it knowing in 8 hours, I'll have 2 days off. But next Thursday, next Wednesday, we'll see. Maybe even Monday or Tuesday. Because I'm ahead of time in style. Just when I can face the night, feeling wide awake. I know that I should be sleeping, but it don't seem that late. I sneak around behind time's back, and much to my surprise, I'm feeling tired. I not only catches up with time, I'm ahead of time in style. Time to throw down. Oh my God. I love that damn song. I love that damn song. She played that. I heard it. You can hear it in the mix. Damn. Just when I can think. I was like, oh my God. And that's the thing about a DJ. I always thought, well, I ain't gonna say always, for a long time I thought, oh, DJ, I can just put on records. You know, all you gotta do is just, you know, find them some records and play them. It's way more than that. It's almost like a spidey sense. I don't know how. You know, maybe it just been me. I don't know. But I don't know how she knew how to play the song she played to touch me that deeply. Wild Night by One Way was like the second song she played. That's one of my underground favorites. Silly Millimeter just turned me completely out. And it was just Standing on the Top by The Temptations, one of my all-time favorites. Just a bunch of just good music. Not just good music. She played Humping, you know, by the Gap Band. Songs that, you know, I listened to and grew up with, and the good ones, not just the commercially ones, not the hit ones, but the, you know, the good ones. They were like on the records, on the B-sides, whatever you say. But anyway, it was just good. It was just good hanging out, seeing the band, the music. And I was watching the video I shot yesterday. I was watching the video yesterday. I was watching the video I shot at a show. I'm still concerned, upset, or miffed by the fact I didn't know it was a show in Houston. There's something to that. The fact that I did not know they was having a show the next day in Houston, there's something to that. There's a reason. But I forgot where I was going. I was gonna say something. I forgot. Anyway, I completely forgot. My weight is down. My weight is way down. I'm out here walking in my sauna suit, my sauna jacket. I had to change my pants. I was wearing my used Dickies. I bought 5 pairs used pants off eBay years ago. They were Dickies, you know, they're good work pants, you know. About 5 pair for like $25 or something like that. Still got them. Used. I was wearing those and sweating so much that the top of them was crunchy now. And this shirt that I'm wearing under this sweatsuit is kind of country. Crunchy, and you can see all the sweat on this jacket. I probably need to throw in the washer. No probably about it. Probably my sneakers too. But the pants were crunchy. I had to retire them. Put them in dirty clothes. So I threw on some shorts. So I'm out here in shorts today in the sauna jacket. And I get back, I gotta take that thing off before I go in the house. Bring out my shirt. All the sweat run off of it. I was losing. Yesterday, I dropped 4 pounds on the walk. That's just crazy. Yesterday, I dropped 4 pounds on the walk. That can't be real. That's an anomaly. That's what I call an anomaly weight. That can't be real. The real number is somewhere in between all these numbers. But they do indicate trend. And the trend is trending downward in the direction that we want. So that's a good thing. It is good. It really is good. It really is. I mean, we got the COVID. I kind of didn't stop traveling. I slowed down for a second because everybody was scared. I don't know about y'all, but in California, they tried to scare the shit out of us for COVID. We was bombarded with, watch out, stay this, mandatory mask, don't go here, quarantine. We were like inundated with the news between Garcetti, the mayor of LA, and Newsom. But looking back, I guess they say that we were like one of the strictest, but our numbers rewarded us for that strictness. At least that's what I heard. I ain't not sure that's true. We're back in COVID during that time. I travel. I had to go back to Ohio and take care of some business. You go back there walking Walmart. Wasn't nobody wearing masks. It was shocking. It was upsetting even. After the way I was trained and told this was that, that was this. So it almost felt like all these people were threatening my life by not wearing masks. That's what it felt like based on the COVID propaganda we received in California. I guess the point I was trying to make was that during COVID, I traveled. So I kind of been traveling the whole time, but I did slow down a little. And then it's really picked back up. And now that COVID's gone, I'm just about in full swing. Flying around the country, doing this, doing that. Flying back to see granddaughter every 2 months or so, concerts and stuff. So that's that. And being to go from one end of the country to the other, like catching a bus across town, and how I can use the public systems to get around. I was thinking I've gotten really used to living close to a major international airport. And it's worked out that Spirit Airlines has good routes from Los Angeles and back to Cleveland, in fact. Good prices, good routes. And I live in a place where I can catch public transportation the whole way from my house to the airport and back. Well, is Uber public transportation? And when I say, and when I include Uber as public transportation, I mean economically, economically practical Uber ride. $10, $12 to get from my house to the flyaway station. For when I fly and be away for an amount of time, that makes it cheaper to get an Uber back and forth instead of parking my car there at $4 or $5 a day. So, and then right from work, I used to be able to go right from work, jump on the red line, and then catch the flyaway down to Union Station. Red line I already had a pass for. It's the same red line I catch to work every day. I just keep going past work, down on the Union Station, just to fly away there, hit LAX. I had the whole routine down. Went out, fly back. LAX, catch the flyaway, Union Station, go to work. Fly back, go to work. Work, get off work, jump on that same red line going in the same direction, and come on home. I've gotten used to that. And the prices involved, living next to a major airport. The non-stops and the good prices I get. So I'm used to flying. My playground has grown. The size of my playground is pretty much the size of this planet. Not quite yet, but it's getting there. I mean, there's no place, even though my European travel or off-continent travel tends to always be a trip in the summer, or early spring, late spring. Late spring, early summer. The possibility is there. I know I probably should try to fly abroad to see a show or something during an off time. I'll just fly over there, see what it's like, fly back. Instead of flying over there for like 2 weeks, just to see, you know. Get a good price, like when school's back in during the winter. You check prices. Say, hey, make a trip out of something. I still want to see the Northern Lights. That I need to do. That I probably should do this year. Should probably try to do that this year. I want to see the Northern Lights. Go up to Fairbanks. It used to be Mount McKinley. They renamed it to Mount Denobly or something. It's a park up there everybody goes to. Not everybody, but you know what I mean. So I'll go up there and stay a few days in Alaska or wherever. It's gonna be cold. I wanna see the Northern Lights. Or baby, fly to Iceland from what I'm hearing now. All this talk about Iceland being a travel desolation. Blah, 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 blah. But the goal would be to see the Northern Lights. And Antarctica. I would love to go to Antarctica. And South America, which I'm not too excited about for whatever reason. But I need to go to the continent of South America. I think that in Antarctica is the only two I haven't been to, I believe. After I realized the North Pole is not a continent. In Europe and Asia, I've been to both of those. Eurasia is a continent, and the question is, how is Europe a continent? Europe ain't no continent. Europe is a peninsula at best. But of course, you know, Europeanized Western want to place the, you know, emphasis on your own culture and your own situation, which is normal. So that's that. Should try to do South America this winter, huh? Just so I can say, even go in the off season. Just so I can say, hey, I've been to Peru, or I want to go see Easter Island and all that. And Peru, they talk about in Chile down there, the dark area, like the darkest area on the planet for star watching and the observatory down there. you know? It's funny how you get out here, people be out, and it seems like no matter what, no matter how it goes, it seems like we always end up in the same place. People could be walking, they could be, they probably could be three people on the planet, and they go out walking, and they'll end up running into each other somehow. There's something to that. I don't know how we humans do it, but we seem to always find a way to bunch up in the same place. My name is Jeffrey. Am I done? Happy Friday. Even though I work tomorrow, ain't my Friday. I had my Friday Tuesday. And boy, was it neat. Yeah. It is. It really is, y'all. Y'all watch me out here doing it. Y'all see what I be doing, how I be doing it. I'm showing you, clearly showing you how I do it, what I do, what you got to go through. You know, I try to show the things that you really don't have to worry about, the boogeyman things that you think maybe out there is not. It's a matter about grabbing a bag, jumping on a plane, and going. And in saying that, it definitely becomes a thing. Grabbing a bag, jumping on an airplane, and going. It becomes a thing. It becomes routine. It becomes just part of normal life to a degree. And then you get the routine down. You're comfortable with it. You know what it's like to get on that flyaway, how to catch the bus, where to go when you get to LAX. You know all the ins and outs. You know how to have your ticket, your TSA pre-approved, how to get the seat, where to get the seat, where to get your smoothie, where to go to the bathroom, where your gate's at, all that. And then you begin to learn how to navigate that. And then you learn how to navigate how it is in different places. And you realize it's a common theme. And so you go different places, you start to realize, oh, it's kind of the same in London. Oh, it's kind of the same in Paris. Oh, a little bit, it's the same in Berlin. The language and the signage may be different, but it's kind of the same process, transportation systems, idea, thingy. So, I mean, one of the coolest things I've always said, jumping on an airplane, grabbing a rental car, next thing you know, you're 80 miles an hour, flying down somebody else's freeway like it's yours. Boom, boom, boom. You got the routine down. And there's a comfort in that. And it makes it easier. It makes the whole process a lot easier from beginning to end. And beginning means when you first make them damn reservations. Right down to the scheduling and everything. When I first started doing this, even booking that first flight was nervous. When you first booked that flight, it used to be nervous time. Is it the right one? Is this going to work? You know, you go through all of that. Then over the years, you get experience. You don't even worry about that anymore. You just go, blip, blip, blip. Next. Oh, did I get the receipt? Who did I get the right seat? Who did I get bags? You naturally are going to be concerned about that because you've never done this before. So when I go to the airport and I see all these families and kids and people that are so excited, they've never done it before. You know, I can appreciate and almost admire their enthusiasm and excitement for this experience. And I probably can remember when I was doing it my first time. And I do remember, you know, the early days when I was walking around, bumping into people, not knowing, not for sure where to go. Am I in the right place? And all of that. Now it's just like getting up, going to the bathroom. LAX is just like my backyard. And that takes a lot of pressure off traveling. Makes it a lot easier. When you just up, You know, no apprehension. You're not worried about flying. You're not worried about this. You're not worried about anything. I mean, not anything. Because you do worry. There's a level of concern and nervousness I have on every trip. And I may even induce that or even pump it up to make me a little bit nervous and leery so that I double check and recheck. You know, because a little bit of nervousness and heightened attention is good for preparation. And then you already have your list. You already have your standard things that you take. You know how to take your, you know how to take your toothpaste and your lotions and your travel cords and your external cell phone battery charger, earplugs, etc., etc. In fact, you have most of that stuff still in your book bag. It's ready to go. Grab the book bag and go. This last day trip, overnight trip to New Orleans, I could have left my book bag back and my laptop. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I didn't really need it, but I couldn't just leave it. You know? And I've been, the police have woken me up one time, San Francisco Airport, because I was sleeping in there and I didn't have any bags. And they noticed I didn't have any bags. And I had to tell them, you know, my bag was stolen. My book bag was stolen. And I didn't have a boarding pass because they didn't open yet. It was like, so I gave my ID and stuff and tried to get back to sleep. But, yeah, you can travel without bags. You know, it could be check. I could have had check bags. No, I couldn't have had check bags at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, I didn't have any bags. I couldn't have had check bags because security wasn't open, so the bags could have been checks. So I should have had all my bags with me anyway. But that's that. You get the routine down. You say, huh, I've done this so many times. And I realized I don't need this. Packing is one of them. All them damn clothes. Coming back the trip, I ain't wore less than half of the clothes I took. Started realizing, yay, man, you wear the same clothes every day. Make that a thing. So I figured out with Spirit regulations how to get everything into my book bag. Of course, I don't take Mr. Scale with me because those are short-term trips. Longer-term trips, I'll take a carry-on and take Mr. Scale with me. And I have to take carry-on and, what's that guy say? My work laptop. So here we go again. Three in a row. See that? Boom, boom, boom. Three people coming together. I don't know how that always happens. It's just like amazing. Three people be walking, we all come together in the same spot somehow. Too many times. Too many times. But anyway, so that's about travel. But then you get back and then you get the routine and you know, all right, gotta go to work. You know the work routine. Oh, my work has stepped up too. My performance of work has stepped up. I'm getting my mojo back to where I'm noticing that the day I feel better and the day goes better and my performance seems to be more clean when I'm looking to grab the next call. What's the next one? What's the next one? Instead of just, oh, I hope the phone don't ring. Oh, is there calls in the queue? Oh, you know, if I'm checking the queue to see what's next or how much work we got, that doesn't feel as good as if I'm just dealing next. Just going after it. And it felt good to have that. It felt good to feel that. I'm noticing that the last few days. And it's bringing up my whole attention and demeanor towards work. It could be, you know, after the big European trip I was planning that had me distracted. I was probably distracted by a few things, there's no doubt. I was probably distracted by a few things. In May, I only worked half of May. I had the lowest performance, had a low performance rating in May. But I've looked into that. I've taken measures to correct that. And I believe I have. So we'll see what the performance numbers come out for June. But we really want to see what they're going to come out for July. We just want to see our first call resolution. I found out a little trick. And I told them. Because certain people was getting first call, their 80% first call resolution. That means as soon as you get the call, you handle the ticket and close it without escalating or this or that within 8 hours. And they put a heavy emphasis on that, like 30% of our performance scores based on that. And I knew it was a trick to it because I see certain people getting it all the time. And I looked at it, how to do it, because some tickets you get, you just got to transfer. There's no way around it. I was like, it's a trick to this, it's a trick. And I found out the trick last week. It's a little service request box that you tick in the incident. It takes it out of the first call resolution category. I was like, I knew it was a trick when I found out. I was like, wait. I was like, wait. So you're telling me that I get a ticket comes in, I can click this box, escalate it to local because it's something they need to do, and it won't count against my first call? And she was like, nope. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Now y'all tell me this. And I told them to. I said, I told y'all there was a trick to this. Yeah, so I get my first call resolution down. My numbers are going to go up. Numbers should be way up. You saw me get dinged for ACD, not picking up the phone or email when they come in because my headset wasn't working correctly. So I got that taken care of. Just got to go at it. Just got to just keep doing what I'm doing. Don't get so disrupted by the numbers. Just keep doing what you're doing. And your natural tendencies or the standards that you set will dictate the grade of your overall performance. The general idea of how you do your job should carry you through. Not doing this or doing that better or faster at any given moment. Just in general. Just like, hey, this is how I do it. It's the foundation. And I was out here too wondering, I'm out here walking all the damn time. And I'll be walking for the rest of my life like this. And maybe as humans, we have evolved to the point that our lifestyles, that we have to get out and do extra exercise. Our lifestyles have evolved to the point where we have to get out and get extra exercise to be healthy. And if you don't, you may not be healthy. We just have to realize that's why we have gyms and treadmills in our houses, and standing workstations, running places, anything, fitness. We need to get exercising. I don't know if that's good or bad, or there is no good or bad, but subjectively, not sure how I feel about that or how will that affect us in the long run as a species. Will we become less physical and more cerebral? And let's have machines run everything? Go sci-fi on your ass, I will. Anyway, my name is Jerry. Swinging on y'all 2 times for me and for the funk. For every elementary particle, atom that has ever existed in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. It's a theory of universe and hypothesis of all as one. The totality of it all, y'all. My name is Jeffrey.